Similar to a well-tuned automobile, a guitar requires the same level of attention to perform at its very best. No matter how expensive your guitar may be, we will treat you and your instrument with the utmost respect. Call 920-723-1733 or visit jeffsguitar.com. Jeff's Guitar Clinic in Fort Atkinson, we love guitars.
Welcome to another podcast at SliceOffice.com, brought to you by our friends at Madison Computer Works. Joining us now, John Nichols from the Capital Times and the Nation. John, let me just play a little montage of Robert Mueller and Donald Trump. A little back and forth here.
Okay. I have President Putin. He just said it's not Russia.
They're doing it as we sit here.
It's not an interference. They have information. I think I'd take it.
I hope this is not the new normal, but I fear it is.
This just came out. WikiLeaks. I love WikiLeaks.
How do you react to that?
It's problematic is an understatement.
It's a whole big fat hoax. It's just a hoax.
No, it's not a hoax.
It's a total witch hunt.
It is not a witch hunt.
There was no obstruction. And if you read the report, you'll see that.
The report did not conclude that he did not commit obstruction of justice. Is that correct?
That is correct.
It was a complete and total exoneration.
Did you actually totally exonerate the president?
No.
Good morning and welcome.
That pushback should have happened in March.
Well, more than that. I mean, the history, when you write the histories of this moment, the most interesting thing about it is the very real possibility that Donald Trump is saved. Politically, at least for this term, saved from impeachment, saved from real accountability, and frankly, a proper examination, simply by delays. Nothing else. That if the timeline was moving at the same rate that our kind of news cycles move, right, that there was that sense of urgency, and the Mueller report came down, and there was an absolute demand that Mueller testify to Congress the next week. You know, their meeting be in
right
immediately, and that his assistants be in, and that others, you know what I mean?
Right.
If they really went to that sense of urgency,
right,
which is, by the way, Sly, something different and something new to our times. It is absolutely true that 100 years ago, 50 years ago, you could move a little more slowly.
Mm-hmm.
It was different.
Well, Chester Arthur's not president anymore. So,
yeah.
With that in mind,
it's a big deal.
No, it's
timing is going to and
fully
recognize.
And you know, Donald Trump is a doomkopf in many ways, but he's not in that way.
No, I mean, and he knows how to divert, right?
He's been doing it his whole life.
Yeah, he's very, very good at diverting attention. But in this case, he had willing, if unconscious, co-conspirators on that. And they were a lot of Democrats, frankly.
That's what I want to ask you. It almost seems like Donald Trump is using delay to slow walk this away, but it almost seems like Nancy Pelosi is slow walking it as well.
Yeah, and for very different reasons.
Different reasons, right.
And that's what I mean by when I say willing, yeah, but unconscious. You know, it's
right.
It's that I think there's a lot of Democrats who, whether they ever acknowledge it or not, are absolutely committed to the idea of slow walking Trump accountability up to the 2020 election. They want it to all pile up, and they want to carry it into the election and prevail. That's the theory on it. So that's the willingness part. The unconscious part, and this is where I'm troubled by it, is that I think they are unaware that the American people are really are kind of watching this whole thing. And if indeed you are saying that the President of the United States did the things that Robert Mueller confirmed, just what he confirmed in his testimony the other day, if you really believe that, and if you really believe he needs to be held to account for that, many of these wrongs are so sweeping, such abuses of his position, that they should be addressed immediately.
Well,
don't wait.
Let's look at it in crass political terms and sort of play it out. Everybody's like, well, it'll be dead in the Senate. Okay. And that's in all likelihood true. Okay. Oh, yeah. But doesn't that put the Senate on the defensive? Like, I think Mitch McConnell's on the defensive today because of what they did on these security votes. Isn't that a way to say, look, you're ignoring the Mueller report here, you're ignoring this man's behavior, and you are simply not carrying out your duties. Wouldn't that be a way to put Republicans on the defensive?
Let's take one state, okay? Let's take Colorado. Who is the senator in Colorado who is up for re-election?
Cory Gardner.
Now.
He always does his live shots in front of a bale of hay in a tractor.
Of course he does. Now, here's my question for you.
By the way, he doesn't really farm.
No. Doesn't look like a farmer either. With all due respect, whatever a farmer looks like, it's not Cory Gardner. But who's going to carry Colorado next year?
That will be whoever the Democratic nominee is.
Whoever the Democratic nominee is, unless it's, some unbelievable derailment, the Democrats are going to carry it. And I'm going to go a step further. I'm going to say that the Democrat, you're going to see in Colorado I was just out there a week or so ago. You're going to see in Colorado something like we've seen in Virginia, where, a longtime competitive state, in the case of Virginia, in presidential politics, really has moved to non-competitive. And I think Colorado is going to do the same thing next year.
Yeah, that's because there's lots of liberals from Minnesota and Wisconsin that have moved out there.
They are, and then there's for a variety of reasons. Trump has been not the right president for Colorado. You also have, frankly, in Colorado, a large Latino population,
right,
and all sorts of other political factors that would err toward Democrats doing well. They just elected a openly gay, very liberal governor, okay? So if our assumption is the Democrats are going to win Colorado next year, Democratic nominee is going to win Colorado next year, the state really is trending the way we are, how does it help Cory Gardner to have voted to stop an effort to hold Donald Trump to account? How does that benefit him politically? I say not at all. I think,
I'm not sure it helps Joni Ernst.
I would agree with you.
Donald Trump's numbers in Iowa are not good.
Yeah. And so here's my argument. You impeach because it is the right thing to do, because it is the necessary thing to do. And frankly, it gives you, in my opinion, for the Democrats, it gives them moral standing.
I don't have to listen to you on this, although I enjoy listening to you. All I have to do is watch an interview with Elizabeth Holzman, and I know it's the right thing to do.
Oh, she's always, I've appeared with her a number of times, and she's just
jealous. But she has some standing in this area.
Well, right? Yeah, and isn't it wonderful that she's still at it? She's so crystal clear and crisp on these issues, and so you have a moral duty to do it, and so that's why you impeach. You don't impeach just for the hell of it. But then, once you have done the right thing, then you just, you let the little birds fly, right? And they fly over to the Senate. If the Senate chooses to do the wrong thing, that's where the political part comes in, because that's where you have tremendous opportunity to hold people to account. Now, Tom Steyer, the billionaire, has decided to run for president. I'm not sure how far that's going to get. But I can tell you this, I've interviewed him. I think he's very sincere in favoring the impeachment of the president. I can tell you that if his own presidential race doesn't quite go where he hopes it does, but he continues to want to use his resources, can you imagine what a couple million put into, and I hate to talk about politics in this way, but it's the way it is, a couple million put into each of these states saying, Cory Gardner voted to let Trump do whatever he wants.
Right. No, and it.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Here he is, Adam Schiff.
2020 is unquestionably the only way he gets removed from office, so we can never lose sight of that. I have tried to put the political question out of my head. That is, does an impeachment help us in 2020, or does it hurt us politically? Because I don't think it's the right question to ask. But we do need to be realistic, and that is, the only way he's leaving office, at least at this point, is by being voted out.
Your thoughts?
might be right. I'm willing to accept that. That doesn't in any way change any of what you and I just said. Okay? Let's lock that concept in. It is true that Mitch McConnell would probably, you know, go to whatever mat he had to go to protect Donald Trump.
Well, he's working for Moscow, so of course he's going to.
Well, he's
Moscow
also,
Mitch.
There's a family tie as well.
Right.
And so for a variety, and even if you took everything else off the table, Mitch McConnell is just he is literally a bleary-eyed partisan. So it's just, at the end of the day, he's going to protect him. So what Schiff is saying there is appropriate. You know, it's I don't deny that, but this is where, in my opinion, the framing of the discussion about impeachment has been so off, because the bottom line is you still do the right thing, and the American people, I think the American people are far more inclined to reward those who do the right thing than a lot of the political class, and frankly, our often awful pundit class, imagines. I think they think the American people are just dumb automatons, right? You know, that just somehow go along in their partisan affiliations. I don't believe that. I actually think there's a substantial number of Americans who, if somebody stands on principle and makes a really good argument for it, it works. And I'll give you an example, just one quick example, and slightly off topic, but I think valid for where we're at here. William Barr and his crew are trying to reinstitute the federal death penalty. They want to start executing people. And they want to, you know.
Well, when you look up to people like Kim Jong-un, you know, that's obviously you're trying to impress your friends, right?
Well, so they're proposing to execute people, right?
Oh, come on. I thought you'd bite on that one.
I'm going to let you go there. Polling shows that, you know, some plurality at least, maybe a majority of Americans, favor capital punishment. So the political theory is, oh, well, don't talk about it too much. I disagree. I actually think if you say, hey, here's why the death penalty is a bad idea, and you talk about it enough and you put it forward, one of two things happens. Either people's minds are changed, which I think is actually possible, or two, folks say, well, you know what? You really believe that, and I respect you for your point of view, because you've gone into it. You don't dance around it. And I think the same is true as regards impeachment. If you talk about it enough and in a principled way, I don't think there's any punishment for doing it, and I think there are a very good possibility of rewards.
Well, a lot of people are saying the Mueller hearings were a dud, but I thought the second half of them were fascinating. And no, Robert Mueller did not perform like Oliver North, who was Oliver North knew how to perform, but of course he was also a duplicitous liar.
Right.
So Robert Mueller didn't get on the stand and lie. He might have stumbled. He obviously didn't want to be there. But frankly, I thought it was I listened to most of it. I thought it was a pretty compelling day. And I also thought five members since that hearing have happened have moved into the direction of impeachment. So the media is kind of doing this. Well, it's over.
But yeah, it's just comic. And this is, I'm embarrassed, frankly, for a lot of the media coverage of it, because they clearly went to default positions. And frankly, I think an awful lot of our media wants to cover the presidential race and really does see all of this as just a distraction from the sporting event of a presidential race. But here's the...
They don't do such a good job covering the presidential race.
That?
They don't do such a great job.
They're lousy at that, too. But it's just, that's, you know, they've got their little charts.
All right, before we break, let me just play a clip of Jerry Nadler here before we take a break.
We now have to lay out the evidence for the American people of all these crimes by the president and of the failure of the president to protect us against the ongoing Russian attack on our elections. That's our next step. The American people have to hear directly, for example, from Don McGahn. We have to hear from other witnesses who testified to Mueller, but we need to hear, and the American people need to hear their testimony directly. This has been blocked, and we're going to court to unblock it.
Nadler also indicated...
All right, so he's in an interesting situation. Does he not have a primary opponent?
Yeah, he does. An incredible primary. You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think Nadler's probably in pretty good shape politically, but I've covered Nadler for a long time. This is an actually very principled man, in my opinion. I think he's very, very serious about this stuff. I do not think he began as a casual supporter of impeachment, but I think that he has evolved to that place. My sense is that if he had been given the go-ahead, he would have announced, you know, right after Mueller's testimony was done, that they were opening an impeachment inquiry. That was not what House leadership, that's not where House leadership chose to go. This, of course, is my sense, not, you know, I'm not going to tell you for sure this is the case. But here's the significant thing. You're saying the second half was quite good, you know, and that's the suggestion. The first half was...
Well, good. I've always been more, frankly, interested in the Russian part than I am the obstruction of justice part, but they do work hand-to-hand together. Yeah.
But here's the bottom line. Bottom line is that first 10 minutes, the introduction and then, Nadler's introduction and then his questioning of Mueller, I think it was one of the great moments in Congress. Jerry Nadler, in a series of questions which were very lawyerly, and I think maybe this is something our media has a hard time covering and hard time recognizing, very lawyerly, got in an incredibly short amount of time to the heart of the matter on obstruction. And he, took down, right at the start, all of Trump's claims that he was exonerated, all of Trump's claims as regards the Mueller report, took them apart, you know, within minutes, and then got into some of the core questions setting up the whole obstruction case. I think Nadler did a stellar job, and the problem is that you had people who were covering this thing who wanted Robert Mueller to dance or to sing or to...
They wanted the iconic soundbite. All right, we're going to take a break here. John Nichols from the Capital Times and The Nation at SlysOffice.com.
When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
I want to thank all the labor unions here in Dane County that help keep SlysOffice.com up and going so you keep up to date, whether it be the Madison Firefighters, Local 311, or the Madison Teamsters, Local 695, or our friends at Madison Teachers Incorporated. These are some of the most active local unions who organize, and constantly stand up for workers. Thank you from SlysOffice.com. Welcome back to SlysOffice.com, brought to you by our friends at Madison Teachers Incorporated, Madison Firefighters, and, of course, Madison Teamsters Local 695. Let's talk a little bit about the Republicans in all this. During the hearing the other day, we had Jim Jordan and friends really, really putting on a show. And believe me, the Trumpkins love it. They just love this sort of thing. Let me play this montage.
In 2016, the FBI did something they probably haven't done before. They spied on two American citizens associated with a presidential campaign.
You didn't follow the special counsel regulations. It clearly says, write a confidential report about decisions reached. Nowhere in here does it say, write a report about decisions that weren't reached. Volume 2 of this report was not authorized under the law to be written.
Either Steele made this whole thing up and there were never any Russians telling him of this vast criminal conspiracy that you didn't find, or Russians lied to Steele.
Peter Strzok hated Trump.
Okay.
You didn't know that before he was made part of your team. Is that what you're saying?
I did not know that.
Joseph Mifsud's a guy who told Papadopoulos. The mysterious professor who lives in Rome and London, works to teach in two different universities. Is Mifsud Western intelligence or Russian intelligence?
Can't get into that.
A lot of things you can't get into.
They were throwing everything at the wall.
Yeah, at the wall.
Yeah.
And you understand, just pause for a second, just that last question, take it in. You're asking someone who was charged by the Department of Justice with getting to the heart of some very, very serious questions, right? to identify whether someone is Western intelligence or Russian intelligence. And potentially, when you're saying Western intelligence, somebody who might even be associated with the U.S., not, you don't know that. Do you understand what would happen?
Yes.
If you identify
Yeah, someone? Get them killed.
And, you know, it used to be sly. Some of our Republican friends were concerned about things.
Right.
So right off the bat, it's kind of kooky and awful. And then secondly, they're throwing names against the wall. You know, it's like Mickey Mouse. What about him? And then the final thing is this. Their stunning lack of historical sense, of historical knowledge. I mean, do you really think that the FBI hasn't spied on political players in the United States? I mean, that's what he's suggesting. They did something that they maybe have never done before.
Right.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. And except they did it without FISA warrants.
Well, I mean, excuse me. There's an awful lot of people who request their FBI file and find a lot of material there.
Yeah, I think the late Robert Kennedy and John F. Kennedy might dispute some of their...
Well, I mean, how many years did and I realize that King wasn't a candidate, but certainly a prominent figure. How many years did J. Edgar Hoover spy on
Right, right. All right, so after this hearing, there's a couple votes in the United States Senate, or attempted votes, to pass some security measures that the future, if a presidential candidate is approached by a foreign country with information, there's going to be a duty to report it, right? So Mitch McConnell kills a couple pieces of legislation that would get 70 votes. Here is Joe Scarborough this morning on Morning Joe talking about Moscow Mitch.
Moscow Mitch says it's a hoax. Now, tell me, I understand that there's an oligarch that I've read is going to be setting up a big aluminum plant in Moscow Mitch's home state. I don't know if that's it, but how can Moscow Mitch so willingly turn a blind eye, not only this year, to what his Republican chairman of the Intel Committee is saying, to what Robert Mueller is saying, to what the FBI director is saying, to what the DNI is saying, to what the CIA is saying, to what the United States military intel community is saying? How can Moscow Mitch keep denying that Vladimir Putin continues to try to subvert American democracy?
Joe, I love...
So...
Kind of got to the heart there.
Yeah. It's something that, frankly, people should be in the streets over. You know, we talk a lot about Trump and impeachment and, you know, whether the Russians helped him. You know, the former ambassador to Russia said this morning, is his name McCall? Is that his name? Russia didn't just try to help Donald Trump. Russia attempted in all 50 states to disrupt our election. You know, now we're hearing that they attempted to put poll watchers out in places.
Well,
I mean, you know,
Mueller, what did Mueller say in his testimony? They're still at it.
Well, that is interesting. Let me just, since we have that
Before
audio,
you go there,
since I we have that audio right here. Oh, wait, hang on a second.
In your investigation, did you think that this was a single attempt by the Russians to get involved in our election, or did you find evidence to suggest they'll try to do this again?
Oh, it wasn't a single attempt. They're doing it as we sit here, and they expect to do it during the next campaign.
Indeed.
So.
Wasn't that like his most clear statement of the entire
yes,
day?
It was. Well, and, he feels very passionately about this.
Well, I think he thinks, I happen to think the obstruction is a huge deal. I think he actually believes that this is the heart and soul of what this is about. And he was hoping, forget about those of us who think Trump should be held to account for obstruction. I think that Mueller was hoping that his report would drive congressional action. Clearly, McConnell has undermined that. But I want to say something else about this. Let's imagine that Trump is right, that Barr is right, that McConnell is right. Let's imagine they're all right, that this is a hoax, that there was no Russian interference, nothing, no effort. No, just put it all aside. Why would you not want to say that presidential candidates who are approached by representatives of foreign governments should, or people tied, however tied, should report that. You know, why, even if the Russia thing never existed, why would you not want to do that? Why would you not want to have some standard that we keep our presidential campaigns, where, by the way, foreign money is not supposed to be slid into those campaigns. It's actually, there are legal constructs here. And where, frankly, going back to the founding of the country, this has been a heart and soul issue of politics.
Well, John, I'm going to ask you to give me between 1 and 10 the chances, 10 being absolutely, 1 being probably not, that the Republicans right now are hoping the Russians interfere in the election because they know that Donald Trump, in all likelihood, will lose the popular vote again and has a very narrow path to victory. They also see some of their chances diminishing in a country that demographically is changing.
So what are
10 or 1? 10 most likely that, in fact, that is exactly what they're doing, or 1, probably not.
I gotta go. See, here's the problem. And I don't want to weasel on
Yeah, don't weasel on me.
I'm going to weasel, but I want to get to the... I want to reframe it slightly. And that is to say, what are the chances that our Republican friends, especially in the Senate, want no barrier to any kind of benefit for Donald Trump's reelection? And that is money in politics, information, all this stuff. And that they just want to put aside any kind of basic security for elections, and frankly, all the other things we talk about elections.
Well, I think you're saying 10.
Then that takes us to a 10.
Yeah, right.
But I don't think it's so narrow. The one thing I would tell you is, and I really think this is important, if you get inside their heads, I don't think they're thinking as narrowly as how you phrased that question. I think their basic concept is, they're going to say no to anything that structurally assures that we have.
Well, look, going back to 2010 with the Citizens United decision,
right,
we began to have worries that foreign money would get, into U.S. elections. Remember back when Republicans were really angry about Al Gore's Buddhist temple fundraisers? Remember that?
Well, and you know what?
They were right.
Correctly concerned, and Clinton's ties to the exploration of Chinese money and stuff like this. And you know what this is the thing I always believed. This is why Ken Starr, they still put him on TV now and again. He's like some college president or something. They're like, oh, Ken Starr, you really know what you're thinking. And I think Ken Starr is really one of the most doofus characters ever to come along, because here he had the ability to really explore money in politics, and which really was a damning thing, which might well have united not just Republicans but a reasonable number of Democrats. And instead, decides to do Monica Lewinsky. You tell me.
Are you sure you want to word it that way? He wanted to do Monica Lewinsky.
Of course, that's not what I'm saying. but he decided to use.
Sorry, I'm still in eighth grade.
Argument. You are so in eighth grade. But you understand what I'm saying here. This is a big deal that at the point where, and I think this happens again and again, and frankly, I don't think there's just one party that's guilty of this, although I think now we have one that's much more guilty. But there are so many times when we should explore the money in politics component. And it's not just donations of money. It's also ties to people who have a lot of money and who have ways to influence things, both from within the U.S. and outside the U.S. And if we would just go down that route and really explore it and keep on top of it and be willing to let the chips fall where they may, we could clean up our politics.
John Nichols from the Capital Times and The Nation. Thanks for coming to SliceOffice.com.
SliceOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.